Boy, I'm telling you, nothing like the word living and burning in your hearts, huh? The world out there is a very crazy place, and it's definitely designed to emasculate you, effeminate you, or anything in between, but especially to e-word you. I just made that up. You know, emasculate, e-word, take the word out of your life. You know what emasculate means? Turn a man into a woman. Well, we don't want that. Yeah, it's bad, very bad. We don't want to be e-worded either, because Jesus Christ came to deliver us from our sins and to be the Savior of mankind. Now, what a paradox if we ever live contrary to that. Because we would then be defined the eternal purpose of the Son of God. Well, we don't want to do that. So we've got to be very smart regarding how the world's always trying to e-word us. Take the word out of our lives. Beat us up, beat us down, and basically make us miserable. We don't want that. Anybody want that? Very good. Very, very good. Well, now that we've got that taken care of, we can talk about the next thing. Do you know that most of your problems are begotten by yourself? Now, there are situations where people are born into problems. Then they have to struggle to get out. But for the most part, your mental prisons, your turmoils are in a large part brought on by you. You choose something, you say something, you do something, then you have to deal with the consequences of that. Really something to think about, isn't it? You ever thought about your mental prisons? We're all in mental prisons of some sort, okay, because we're human. We all have to deal with stuff some days because days are like that. Well, it really behooves us to, number one, not be e-worded, and number two, to really understand that we're many times the controlling factor regarding the happiness, the abundance, the wonderfulness of the word that we have or don't have. Well, none of that would be possible without Jesus Christ. None of the deliverance, none of the wording, not e-wording, none of the greatness that all the promises in the Word delivered to you on a daily basis. None of it would be possible without Jesus Christ. The world has decided, not me, not you, but the world has decided to celebrate Jesus' birth on December 25th. Now, even in China they do that, even though they don't quite realize it. I'll never forget riding the escalator in a Chinese department store one day. And as I was going down, almost wishing I wouldn't have gotten on the escalator because it was so crowded. Oh. What did I hear but strains of Silent Night on the loudspeaker? They didn't have a clue, but I did. And I was actually glad. Because Jesus Christ was being spoken of in a foreign land. Pretty cool, you know? The world has decided to celebrate the birth of Jesus in December. You know, and I know, that he wasn't born in December. But the world has decided to celebrate it then. We find ourselves in an interesting situation because of that. Because our research our intellect comes into direct conflict with the world and what it has chosen to do in December. So, you have a bit of a turmoil in your mind, in your heart, trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Hey, you can go two ways on it. You can say, I'm not going to celebrate because, or you can say, I am going to celebrate because, and use the same verses out of Galatians to justify either. We're not to observe days. Which means if a day comes along and we're not observing it, that's one way. But if a day comes along and we are observing it, we're not feeling badly about it, is another way. You just don't get caught up in it. But you have fun. Have you ever celebrated a birthday? Late? Sure. I think we all have, even if not your own, somebody else's, and you celebrated it just as vigorously. Well, Jesus was born, from what we have been able to determine, 9/11, September 11th. Okay? But the world says December 25th. Well, it's a fact. We know who's right and who's wrong. But should we let that get in the way of having fun? No, I don't think so. And I think that you have to come to grips with certain things in your own life when and where they're either doing this or attempting to present prison bars. In other words, imprison you. We all have mental prisons, whether we call it religion or fear or greed, or sickness, whatever it is, all of people, all of mankind deal with mental calamity. They just have things. How many of you do not have things in your mind that you have to deal with? You all do. Well, we have to learn to manage those. If you understand that you brought yourself into situations, you can also understand that you can determine the quality of your life if you choose to stay in those situations, or you can also choose to completely get out of those situations. You know, you have to ask yourself, well, what kind of prison am I in? Did I bring this on myself? Did it grow into me slowly over time? Was I always like this? Was I not always like this? But did Jesus come to deliver me from any and everything, or just some things? And should I continue living like this, no matter what I believe about Jesus? I mean, it's yours. It's your control. It's your freedom of will. And you just have to decide what you're going to do. Long time ago, somebody came up with the phrase, people want to go to California to get their head together. Now people are running away from California because California is falling apart. But the concept of trying to fix your imprisoned state by running away is what that means. And the point is, you can't fix an imprisonment by running away. You just can't do it. Oh, you can get some mild relief, which would be very temporary, but it's going to come back because the prison is within. And so as you grow to understand the freedoms that Jesus Christ made available, you will be able to walk in greater and greater deliverance. You won't be e-worded. Remember emasculated? You won't be e-worded. You'll be word-filled. And then you'll have the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the word at every turn. How did all this become available? By the birth of Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 1, we find a few verses relating to that. And most of them are in Luke regarding the birth of Jesus Christ. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and several weeks ago, I read some of these to you and taught you about the initial part of the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It happened this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, divorce her privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of God. So the angel says, you can go ahead and consummate your marriage with sex, because God has already created that sperm that now conceived in her. So now you can go ahead. Of course, once a woman's pregnant, she's not going to get re-pregnant until she has the first baby. And then we learn something really neat in verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In verse 21, we learn that Joseph and Mary were to call the child Jesus. But in verse 23, we learn that these would be the people, the public example type of thing up in verse 19. These people were the ones that were going to call his name Emmanuel. His personal name is Jesus. Do you believe that your sins have been forgiven? If you do, then you know the personal Jesus. Okay? Whereas his public name, Emmanuel, in verse 23, do you believe that he represented God among the people? Because a lot of people don't. Then you know the Emmanuel of God. Two different names, and he's given a lot of different names, by the way. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He then consummated the marriage, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. That means, did not have sex to the point of conception. Oh, they did have sex, but no babies yet. First baby came from God. And he called his name Jesus. Now in Mark, there are no references to Jesus' birth. And that's all you have in Matthew. You have to go to Luke. And Luke is where you find the majority of the verses regarding Jesus' birth. And it's really a great section to read. I want you all to know about his birth. And hey, 'tis the season, huh? So we might as well expose these scriptures if you've never read them. Starting with verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I wonder if she hadn't have seen him and just heard him, if she would have been troubled. Oh well. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You know, I read a lot of these scriptures. The Bible is full of them that talk about people being visited by angels or God himself, you know, the burning fiery bush, the Ten Commandments, and oh, there's a lot more. Daniel and Paul. But to hear these kind of things, thou hast found favor with God. And I think, you know, why doesn't that happen to me? Why didn't that happen to you? Well, immediately my mind switches over to who I am in Christ. And I find great comfort in that line of thought. Because, as I've told you many times, we are a very special people. We're a very peculiar people, as it says, which means superabundant people. We are a people in a totally different class than any other people that have ever walked the face of this earth. And I'm talking about Christians, true Christians. We don't need stuff like that. Now, you might feel you do, depending on your prisons, but you don't need that kind of stuff because you are in a class all your own. You have been separated. You have been sanctified. You have been totally pulled apart from the world and from any other form of religious worship, religious society, religious belief, religious acceptance. You are a totally unique group of people. You don't need this kind of stuff. Your life was never designed so that if you didn't have this kind of stuff, you wouldn't be happy. Your life was designed so that you are a more than abundant people by birth. That's just the beginning. And so as you learn to embrace who you are in Christ, you also learn to disregard the methods, the modals of previous forms of worship. In other words, how Old Testament believers were and how they got their spiritual excitement. Okay? It's pretty cool to think about. You don't need what these other people had because you've been given something far greater. I don't know if you believe that, though. I think you do. Sometimes you might have a hard time bringing it to your remembrance, but you can. And you have to strive in that form of excellence. What are you going to bring to your mind today? What are you going to believe today? Hey, you're who you are in Christ. You're so separated from this world that often you feel that you don't even belong, which is a right feeling. But it's because of who you are in Christ. The more you try to mold yourself to the world, the more difficult your life will become. You must strive to be one of those, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through people. You must strive to be that way and take great pride in that position. Really something. Well, verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. While the world is in a continuous endeavor to eword you, in other words, remove the word from your life, we learn that of the kingdom of Jesus Christ there shall be no end. But then the world comes crashing down and we realize where we're sitting. We realize our stack of bills, our health issues, all of the things that we deal with on a daily basis seem to mount up against us. We have to become eternally minded. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're only visiting here. We've been delivered. We've been forgiven of our sins. Jesus Christ is truly our Savior, our Deliverer. We are a totally different kind of people. And so if we have prisons, we maybe have not accepted what Jesus Christ did for us, what God made available through him. I guess I don't mind if we have prisons. I don't agree with them. But I also know the nature of man and the nature of the adversary. And so there's going to be prisons. But maybe they shouldn't toy with you as much as you toy with them. Who's in control? And this is the question you must always ask yourself. Hey, we're not going to get 100% cleaned up until we're out of here. That's just the nature of it. But we can strive for excellence, for godliness, for happiness, for all the things that we feel are important to us. And I dare say that you're at your place of happiness because you have chosen to be that way. The way you are is what you believe in. And if you don't like the way you are, then you should change your beliefs. I don't mean that in a mean way, but I mean it in a controlling way. For you to really understand that you bring into your life your situation. People all too often want to blame others. Always want to throw the blame on others. Oh my goodness. It just doesn't work that way. I can look in my life and I can honestly say there's really nobody that I could blame for any of my situations but me. I don't know anybody else to blame. I don't think it would work if I tried. Who could I blame for whatever I go through? I can't. I just can't blame anybody else. There isn't anybody else to blame. So instead of playing the blame game, we want to play the acceptance game. Accept the deliverance that you've been given through Jesus Christ and then live it. That's what it's all about. But I think if you get honest, and I mean brutally honest, there's nobody to blame but you. That's life. But that's not terrible. That's just a fact. That's just the way it is. Because it's true. Unless you can blame somebody. Unless you're really willing to give up that kind of control in your life. But I don't think you are. Nobody wants to go into slavery for 40 years, do they? Or even 80? No. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? There's no way I'm going to have a kid. I haven't even had sex. And the angel answered and said unto her, God, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now that's what God calls him. So we've got Emmanuel, we've got Jesus. Jesus was what Joseph and Mary was going to call him, Emmanuel, the people, and now God's calling him the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, 6 months before, and this is the 6 month with her, who was called barren. She couldn't even have a kid. Now she is. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And then chapter 2, verse 1, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. When I think about the historical aspects of what took place at this time that we're reading about, I'm amazed because it was one corrupt time. All you have to do is open up the history books and you can get a pretty good glimpse of it. But Jesus was born in the midst of some of the most utter darkness that the world has ever seen. And yet, he survived. And yet, those who were supposed to hear, heard. And yet, out of this whole just awesome series of events, the first century church was born. And consequently, you and I were able to become born again. So it had a very quiet beginning, and it's grown into something utterly marvelous over many, many years, and it will continue throughout all of eternity. You are part of that. And so history, society, culture, worldly crises or situations have no bearing on the movement of God. Oh, we might say they do, but they don't. If God moves in history, world crises, culture, or other worldly situations, then those movements have a bearing on the spiritual side of life, the things of God, but only then. So no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you're going through, and I mean it, anything, it doesn't matter. Those worldly situations that seem to continuously try to e-word you have no bearing on the way God can move in your life. None. And you must hold on to that. Because you're freed from the world. And you have the right to lay claim to any and every promise of the Word. But you have to understand that you control the prisons that you're in and the freedom that you walk into. Verse 7. Or verse 6, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. It was time to have the baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country in Judea, that is, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were out fertilizing the field before the cold came. Okay, it wasn't December, it was in September. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. These angels didn't go to the king, didn't go to the governors, didn't go to all just the wealthy people, the movie stars. Shepherds. God knows what he's doing. He will take care of you. He thinks you're very important. You have to embrace this in order to receive the full benefit of it, though. But he went to shepherds. They were just watching some sheep out there fertilizing the fields. Wow. That's amazing. The announcement of the Son of God given to some shepherds. The host of the angels, the multitude of those angels, and their songs to shepherds and sheep out in the middle of nowhere. You just got to think about that. Not to the king's courts, not to the king's men, not to Humpty Dumpty or anybody else. Shepherds. And sheep and fields. Whenever you think of yourself as not being important, think about that. You're very important. You're not a shepherd, and you're not a sheep. You're the sons and daughters of God. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I think that these are some of the greatest things that you also could do. To hold these things in your hearts, to ponder them. As you're out and about in the world, and you're busy with all your busyness, and then you come home, you return home, you can glorify and praise God, you speak in tongues. That's a huge leap from carnal worship, by the way. You glorify and praise God for all the things that he's shown you and told you through his word. It can still be the same. I guarantee you that you'll be rejoicing because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Sure. Thank you.